Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
December 19th, 2006, the Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, indoor shooting. Yeah, it's a little cold outside right now, wouldn't you say? Even here in Northern California, which far and away is not the coldest part in the world, it's still darn chilly. In fact, this morning I was out wandering around a little bit, getting a little exercise, and was thinking about, wouldn't it be nice to go and have a cup of coffee right now? I had my camera, and I ended up doing some shooting, after all, inside a gymnasium. Yes, and taking shots of people playing basketball, and it was really a good time. I really enjoy this kind of shooting, and I thought I would review a few of those techniques today, because all of us are forced inside this time of year, and we still want to keep shooting, right? We don't want to hang up our cameras in the winter just because it's a little frosty outside. So we'll talk about some of those indoor shooting techniques today. Before I get going on that, I want to thank our sponsors and Photomagico, the great slideshow software makers, Boink Software, producing Photomagico, which you can read about and find out more about at photomagico.com, and that's photomagico.com. And the good folks over at ExpoDisc, which I'm actually going to talk a little bit about ExpoDisc today, because I had to use it to deal with those indoor gymnasium lights. And ExpoDisc is a way to use your custom white balance function to get great color every time, and you can read more about them at expodisc.com. Now, our photo assignment for the month, Pool of Light. This is for December. And did you go take a look at juxtaposition from the November photo assignment? Really nice looking catalog of pictures, and some of the pool of lights are starting to come in now. And they're looking every bit as good as I thought they would. If you haven't worked on yours yet, I'll tell you, December is one of those months that really zoom by. So don't let the whole month slip away without getting your entry for the photo assignment for this month turned in. I think it's going to be another very sharp looking gallery. For those of you that have been submitting grab shots and have actually had your grab shot published, I think I'm going to be able to get a batch of custom carabiner D-ring keychains out the door by the end of the month, so you'll be seeing those. And I just want to remind you again about all the activities going around at Macworld San Francisco, and that's in early January. And I'm going to be there all week, and I'm going to have a bunch of keychains with me. So if you're a Digital Story listener, look me up at Macworld. I'll be easy to find. You can always go ask for me at the O'Reilly Media booth, and I'll be there every day, off and on. And those people will also usually know where I am if I'm not at the booth. So stop by, say hello, and let me meet you and give you a keychain. So anyway, and that's enough of virtual camera club business for now. Let's talk about shooting indoors. So this is a time, and you know, we've talked about this in other podcasts, where lens selection, I think, has a big impact on the day's shooting. A couple reasons why that is. First of all, I really don't think you should use flash when shooting indoor sports. I think that's a bad idea. And the reason being, first of all, I always feel like there's a possibility I could interfere with the actual contest going on. You'd hate to flash someone in the eyes, right, as they're trying to catch an important pass or something like that. And then I also think it's somewhat annoying for those in the audience, those trying to watch and enjoy the game. So I usually don't use flashes for indoor sports. Now, the one exception is that if you're, you know, really big-time serious photographer, sometimes you're allowed by working with the facilitator coordinator, the facility coordinator, by setting up strobes up high and that are, you know, triggered remotely by your camera. And that situation's a lot different because the light is coming, you know, from above downward the same way that the gymnasium lights are, and it really doesn't bother anyone. So that's a different scenario, but I don't think, I mean, if you're being able to do that right now, then I'd like you to write me, and I'd like to interview you for a podcast because I think that's a great technique, and it, I think listeners would enjoy hearing about that. But for the most part, you usually shoot existing light in this situation. So now you really have a couple variables to deal with. First of all, you have action, right? It's sports, so you have a lot of movement to deal with, which means you need a relatively fast shutter speed. Now, you usually don't have the amount of light that you would like indoors, although gymnasiums are usually pretty good, but they're still not like shooting outside on, you know, in the middle of the day. So you have less light than you normally would for action photography. And then, of course, you know, the action is still, even if you get a good position with your camera, it's still a little bit off in the distance. So you have to use some type of telephoto lens. So you have these three variables that really come into play for indoor photography, which is you have fast-moving subjects, you don't have as much light as you probably would like, and you have to use a longer focal length than you probably normally would for just everyday shooting. I was using two lenses today for my shoot. I used a 70-300 Canon IS zoom lens. And this isn't a very fast lens. It's like f4 to 5.6. Not very fast. And then I used also a Canon 85 millimeter lens. It's a fixed focal length lens, but it has a maximum aperture of f1.8. Very nice. I have to tell you, this is one of my most favorite lenses on the whole planet. It is fast, it is sharp, and it is it's just beautiful. I like everything about it. It's just a gorgeous lens. It's pretty, too. It's a pretty lens. Now, the other selection that I made was to use the Canon 5D, and the reason why I wanted to use that camera body today is because it's a 12-megapixel body. So, you know, what that means to me is that even when I'm shooting with the 85 f1.8, if I can't get quite as close as I want to get, but, you know, everything else I like, I got a fast shutter speed, I got a nice sharp image, yada, 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 then with that 12-megapixel image that I've captured, and I am always shooting in RAW on these because the 5D can do fast enough burst mode with RAW to where I don't have to go over to JPEG. So I'm shooting with RAW, so I have lots of image information. So that's very nice. That very much extends my 85mm lens because I can crop in on those images, just take out a part of them, and still have enough image resolution to make a nice size print. So this is, you know, kind of my secret weapon when I'm shooting photography indoors, action photography indoors, which is to use a camera that has a large image sensor because that really does extend my telephoto lens. And, it, you know, it really, the lens selection really did make a big difference because when I was down on the floor shooting with the 85-1.8, I was able to have my ISO at 800, and I still had a pretty fast shutter speed between 1/125th of a second and sometimes even up to 1/180th of a second. So I can freeze action fairly well with that. You know, you still have to kind of catch things at the peak. But nonetheless, a lot of my shots were pretty crisp. And ISO 800 on these cameras is a good ISO. The image noise isn't bad at all. So that was a very nice combination. Now, when I switched over to the zoom lens that goes out to 300, when I'm racked out to around 300, then my maximum aperture is f5.6. That's a big difference. And so then I would have to up my ISO setting to 1600, which I didn't really want to do. I will do it, and the shots, I think, turn out amazingly well with the Canon 5D at ISO 1600. But I had to do it because otherwise my shutter speed was just too slow. It was just way too slow. You know, it'd be down at like a 30th of a second. And you just can't shoot Zoom sports at a 30th of a second. It doesn't work. So I'd have to, when they were in kind of bright spots of the gym, it was only a 60th or 90th of a second. So I had to up that ISO to 1600, and I still got some, motion blur on some of my shots, but at 1600, I had a lot more crisp ones. So this, again, is where, lens selection and then, body selection really dictate, how far you can push your situation. The Canon F1.8 lens allowed me to shoot at 800 with faster shutter speeds, sometimes up to even 1/250th of a second, which was really nice. And then the longer zoom lens that didn't have as big aperture, my shutter speed slowed down and I had more focal length. So that's, that's kind of like two variables you don't want to have working together there. Now, of course, if you listen to the Extreme Lens podcast, you'll know that you can get, like the F5.6 400 lens. And so that gives you even more focal length at F5.6, another 100 millimeters. So, there are different things you can do. And if you're really bucks up, of course, you can get like an F4 400 millimeter lens or an F2.8 300 millimeter lens. But those are very pricey. And usually only people who are, shooting a lot for indoor sports and stuff can justify buying these lenses. The other thing I want to mention around lens selection is that don't forget to back off the lens, go back to 85 millimeter or 70 millimeter and take some broader shots and, get things like the scoreboard in the shots and the crowd and stuff like that. Don't shoot everything as tight as you possibly can shoot it. Tight shots are great. I shoot mostly tight shots myself, but make yourself back off and take other shots too. Because over the long haul of telling the story of whatever's going on that day, having the occasional long shot, I think, really helps. And sometimes you get some very artistic shots, too, when you back up a little bit. So don't forget to back up a little bit and take some of those shots also. And, of course, the nice thing about that is then they're usually easier to make sharp shots at these focal lengths that are, more around 70 millimeter or wider, because, you have to worry less about magnification and camera movement and all that kind of stuff. So don't forget to back off your lenses also. White balance is another issue in this situation because you are, really, you have to deal with the lights that are there. And a lot of times in gymnasiums, you have all sorts of different types of lights. You could have straight tungsten lights. A lot of times you'll have kind of these mercury vapor type lights. You get all sorts of lights up there. And I don't think you can really just put it on auto and shoot away and expect not to have to do some color correction in later on in post-production. So I really like to get there a little bit early before I actually have to start shooting and play with the white balance settings a little bit to get what I want. And I very much use custom white balance in this situation. And of course, just to review, we've talked about custom white balance a fair amount in other podcasts. But what the custom white balance setting is, it allows you to take a measurement of the light that you're using at that moment and have your camera adjust for it. So instead of using one of the presets, such as tungsten or cloudy or auto, you actually create your own preset based on the lighting that's there. Now, there's a couple ways that you can use the custom white balance setting on your camera. Take a white sheet of paper or have something white with you. So then you have the light that's falling onto the sheet of paper, and then you take a reading of that light bouncing off the white sheet of paper with your camera, and then your camera can adjust accordingly. Now, this is also a case where ExpoDisc works really well. And ExpoDisc, obviously, they're one of the sponsors of the show, and one of the reasons why they are is because it's a product that I really like and have been using and wanted to share that information with other people. So ExpoDisc is a very convenient way to take custom white balance settings in these sort of things, and that's what I use today. I use the ExpoDisc. And then, of course, in a pinch, you can always use something like a basket coffee filter and with the custom white balance setting. You just put the coffee filter over the lens and point it at the light, the main light source, and take a measurement that way. So you have all sorts of different options, and but I really recommend custom white balance in the setting, because I think otherwise you're going to find yourself not really happy with the skin tones of your athletes and then having to do post-production. And the thing about shooting sports is that you have a lot of shots at the end of the shoot because, you know, you're shooting boom, 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 boom. And you just don't want to have to spend a lot of time. At least I don't anyway. Maybe you don't mind. But I don't really want to have to spend a lot of time doing color correction on all those shots afterwards. Even if I'm shooting in RAW, you know, I do have the option to fine-tune the color afterwards without penalty, but I just don't want to do it. I really want to spend my time looking at the shots, finding the best ones, rating them, cropping them accordingly, and then building the gallery of best shots to deliver to the client or to share with people who were at the game or whatever I want to do with it. So I'd rather spend my time doing that stuff instead of going through and doing color correction. So I highly recommend using the custom white balance setting in this situation, and use it either with Expo Disc or a white sheet of paper or a white basket coffee filter, but do something so that you can get good color right out of the gate and you don't have to worry about messing with it later on. Another thing that I think should be on your radar when you're doing this kind of shooting is what's going on in the background. And so if you're just sitting there in the stands and you're staying in that position during the whole game, then you're going to have whatever background is available to you the other way. And you could get some very good shots there, but if you can, I would get up and walk around a little bit. Most of the time, unless you're at like a pro game or a college game or something, you usually have a lot of latitude in camera position. So you can, you know, go down onto the floor as long as you stay away from the action. A lot of times there's enough space between the edge of the playing area and the actual building itself so you can be back out of the way. But I really recommend that you get up and walk around and not only look for different angles in terms of shooting the action, but also look for different backdrops. Backdrops, I think, are really important in sports photography. A lot of times the difference, I think, between a great shot is not only the primary subject, but also how the background is treated. And a lot of times in sports, the background can be very distracting, and it really takes away from the, you know, the primary subject, you know, the thing that you're really interested in when you took the shot. So if you can look for backdrops that aren't as busy, or look for backdrops that contribute more information to the shot, you know, getting the scoreboard, getting the referee looking on, things like that, I think that's really helpful. And of course, when you're shooting with a longer lens, it's easier to make that backdrop go soft because, you know, it tails off, you know, you have the bokeh effect. But when you're shooting with a wide lens and you're getting a little closer, or maybe not a super telephoto, even when I was shooting with the 85, a lot of that background information is still being captured. So I want to pay attention to my backgrounds and help them, have them contribute to the shot and not take away from it. And so a lot of times you just have to get up and walk around to do that. And that's something that I recommend that you do if you can. Get up, walk around, get some different camera angles, and just don't settle for that one shot, that one position in the bleachers. Now, earlier I mentioned that I like to shoot raw if I can for these sort of shoots because I'm getting as much image information as possible. But I don't feel that you have to shoot raw. And actually, for sports is one of the times where I think, you know, JPEG shooting is absolutely fine. There's not a problem with it at all. And for a lot of cameras, especially if you don't have a real high-end camera, you're not going to be able to get the kind of burst modes that you want. You know, being able to shoot continuous series of shots in RAW mode that you can with JPEG. So that's a really good argument for shooting with JPEG in these sort of situations, is that you can have a longer series of shots, you can have longer burst modes, and really rattle off, you know, 5, 6, 8, 12 frames, you know, boom, 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 and hopefully really get the shot that you want in there. Now, I think the thing about JPEG, of course, is then you really do want to get your white balance correct on JPEG so you don't pay a penalty with white balance corrections later on. So if you are shooting JPEG in order to get those good burst modes, in order to, you know, take a lot of shots and be able to manage them easily, make sure that you have good white balance, because I think it's even more important when you're in JPEG mode than when you're in RAW mode. Now, obviously, if you can get away with RAW, if your camera allows burst modes with RAW that are satisfactory for this kind of shooting, well, then, you know, it's pretty hard to argue against RAW, especially if you got a big memory card or a bunch of, a whole pocket full of memory cards. RAW does give you a little bit more flexibility if you can get the burst modes that you need when shooting in RAW. One other thing that I want to mention, and this sort of ties into when I was talking earlier about backing off, there are a lot of shots at these events that have nothing to do with the action on the floor. So keep your eyes peeled. I really like the interactions between coaches and players on the bench and at timeouts and things like that. Try to get good shots of the coaching staff and the things that they're doing. Plus, those shots just come in really handy, and especially if it's your child that's playing on the team, you know, you might want to give the coach a nice portrait at the end of the year as a thank you. Coaches just love that. They love to have good shots of them doing their thing. And so that's something to keep in mind, shooting the coaching staff. I also like shots of the coaches and the referees interacting, especially at timeouts and so forth. Sometimes there are people that you know in the stands, and you know, they'll hang together, and there'll be some good animated conversations there. Things like mascots, vendors, food vendors and stuff. There's a lot of stuff going on at a sporting event that's outside of the action that's on the floor, and a lot of these things are really good photo ops, and so don't pass them over. Keep an eye peeled, or even set aside a little bit of time during the shoot to say, hey, you know, I'm just going to shoot some of this other stuff, some of this environmental stuff. A lot of times you'll be surprised that you'll come away and some of your favorite shots from the day could be the stuff that wasn't even happening on the floor, couldn't, you know, not even the action. And the other thing about it is, because, you know, these people are usually moving slower than the players on the floor, it's easier to get good, sharp shots. So keep that in mind. Remember, there's a gold mine worth of photography available to you indoor sports on stuff that isn't happening on the floor itself. So there you have it. So if the weather outside is not exactly, you know, conducive to inspiring you to go out and trudge through the rain, through the snow, through the freezing cold, trying to find a shot, then I think it's, you know, it's really easy to find, you know, indoor recreation leagues and school leagues and, you know, all that stuff. There's a lot of kids playing a lot of good sport indoors this time of year. They're really easy to find out about them. And, you know, chances are you probably know somebody that's participating, and you can just, you know, tag along that way. Even if you don't know someone, it's very easy to find out when these games are. But I really recommend it. You know, all you really need is your DSLR. I'm sorry, if you only have a compact camera, you're going to have a rough time doing this kind of photography. This is pretty much DSLR country. You know, a couple good lenses, use the techniques that I talked about today. And you know what? It is really a fun way to invigorate your photography. If you don't normally shoot sports photography, this is a terrific way to, you know, break in, especially with kids sports. And I think you'll find that you really get excited about a lot of the shots that you capture. You know, when you get them home and you start uploading them into the computer and looking at them, you know, I think you'll get a little thrill. I would go so far as to say I almost guarantee that you'll be thrilled by what you capture. It's just a lot of fun and a lot of, you know, good human interaction. And it's colorful, too. You know, you got the uniforms and all that kind of stuff. Give it a spin and see what you think. Let us know what you think. You can always post a comment on the show notes of this show, or you can always send me a note directly to Derek at thedigitalstory.com. All right, well, that's going to do it for this week. Stay warm, but keep shooting. It's very important to keep shooting this time of year. Don't let the weather get to you. And that's one of the reasons why I was talking about indoor shooting today, to keep that, you know, that index finger on your right hand, nice and loose and in shape so you don't get rusty. And don't forget about the photo assignment, and that's Pool of Light for December. Keep those grab shots coming. Send your questions and comments to Derek@thedigitalstory.com. But most importantly, keep shooting, and I will see you here next week. Bye-bye now.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, weblogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.